chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. I always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. That's a great promise, isn't it? That is a great promise. And then for 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. That also is a tremendous promise. This morning, as we prepare for communion, I want to share some thoughts with you from these passages of Scripture. When we think about communion, many times I know that we think about it because it's really been fully developed in the New Testament. But the concept of communion actually originates in the Israelite covenant, which is grounded in this, the Lord's promise, I will be with you. And you see that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. I will be with you. You know, one of the challenges that I believe that we have, and for many of us who have had a relationship with the Lord for many years now, is that it is easy for us to approach this table because we've been here many times. It's easy for us to live our lives and to forget the significant sacrifice that it cost God and his Son, Jesus Christ, for a way to be made that we could have fellowship with God the Father. My father died in 1976, and I miss him every day. But I'm grateful because the Heavenly Father I have fellowship with every day. And I'm so grateful for that. And I have to say that I know that there are days, because I know the story. We have all prayed. I have read Scripture. I stand before you as your pastor to preach and to open God's Word. And I know there are days that I take it for granted. But I believe that this table, it's a table that calls us to remember that we belong to God and that God is with us every day, no matter where we are during the week. Why is that? It is because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is the thing in us, because we have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that calls us and convicts us when there are things that we may do in our weekly life that are not pleasing to God. I mean, many times we think about God being with us and the blessing of God and all the provisions and all those things. But we have the Spirit of God that says to us, that's not pleasing to God. Don't do it. Don't participate in that. As well as the blessing and the richness that we have. It's important for us, I believe, especially living in the world that we do, that we understand that the Spirit of God is with us to help us, to walk in a way and to live our life that is pleasing to God. Today, God is with you. Let's make it personal. Today, God is with me. Can we just say that together? God is with me. Let's say it all together. God is with me. It's a great way to start the confession or to start your day by confessing. God is with me. The challenge that we have sometimes is when we go through our day and somebody pulls in front of you And then you got to remember, God is with you. And God is trying to help them with their driving and to help you to monitor your attitude, right? I mean, that's what having a biblical worldview is. It's when somebody does something and you're ready to, you know, say something or do something that would not be pleasing to God. And I know that's a simple thing, but I know that all of you that drive can relate to that, especially if you live in Houston, Texas. But because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, every day, God is with you. God's with you as a parent when you're working with your children. God is with you as a spouse in your marriage. Let's look at just some of the things that we have read to help us and remind us as we come to take communion today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses that we read, it says that God's grace has been extended to us. You understand that we are saved. The power that saves us is God's grace. Faith in Jesus Christ is the means or the way that we receive that grace. There's not anything that I can do to earn the salvation that has been extended in my life. Isn't that right? There's nothing I can do. Y'all know me. I can't possibly be good enough. And I don't deserve what I've received and is being worked out in my life. It also says that he has enriched us in every way. Sometimes it is so easy for us in America to focus on whether we're rich or not by what's in our bank account or what kind of car that we drive or what kind of house that we live in. But 1 Corinthians says that he has enriched us in every way. In other words, you are rich in every way because you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God is with you. And you know where it's not just God blessing you and the provision and the relationship that you have. It's in his Father's house that you realize that you are rich. This morning when I came in, after some difficult weeks, I walked into this place and I realized, God, you have made me rich because of the people that are around me. Thank you. See, it's in our Father's house, and I'm not talking about this building. Last night in our congregational meeting, Scott told us that this property in this building is worth how much, Scott? $2.5 million, and it's all paid for. We don't owe anything on it. Amen. That's right. No, that's just... It's the kind of financial report that many of y'all like. Brief and to the point. But see, in America, our concept, I'm grateful for the Lord for doing that. But the Father's house that I'm talking about is you. Because I could have walked in here and you could have given me $1 million, and you know, I don't even have any idea what that's like, and I probably never will. But when I came in this morning to the Father's house and you were here, listen, there's not any kind of money value, financial value that you can put on what we have, the richness that we have, because we are in the Father's house. Amen. See, somebody just had a big deposit that's put into their account. They're getting a call right now. He also says that we do not lack any spiritual gift. That's also in the Father's house, isn't it? I mean, I believe that God called me to be a pastor. He's given me a gift to serve as a pastor, but there are a lot of other gifts that I don't have, but you do. That's why, you know, it's so important that we try to work and recognize and allow the Holy Spirit to, to allow the spiritual gifts among us to be used and exercised in order. Because when they're done that way, then we're rich. You and I are rich. Because by myself, I don't have all the things that I need. But through you, God's blessing in your life is that we have all the spiritual gifts. We are not lacking. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for what God has done in your life and the way that you allow him to use you and as you serve him. It also says that that he will keep us strong till the end. Now, when you're younger, you don't think about the end, do you? But I'll be 56 this year, and I'm still, I like to think of myself as relatively young. But my body tells me when I try to do some of the physical things, like try to dance and sing in Spanish, I can't do that anymore. I don't know about y'all, but I needed oxygen while trying to sing in Spanish and dance. But what he's saying is he's going to keep us strong till the end. I'm grateful for that. I look at Chuck being here. I think about Chuck, Chuck Kalachewski, who has gone through some physical health problems. And one of the real cries of his heart is, I want to finish strong. And we know that that's talking about the time that Jesus will return. But we all want to live our lives and we want to finish strong. And I want you to know the promise is God said that he will keep you strong throughout your life. And then it says that God who calls you into fellowship with his son will be faithful to sustain us. Now there's two things there. The call to have fellowship with his son comes from God. Right? The Father sent his son to be on this earth, to die on the cross, and to raise him from the dead so that we might be able to have a relationship with him. His son is faithful. He will sustain us. And then in 1 John, it challenges us, doesn't it? 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. Because verse 6 says that if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, you can't separate those two things. See, a lot of Christians, they don't struggle with God, and they don't struggle with the Lord Jesus Christ, but they struggle with their brother. You know, I'd be doing good if I just didn't have to live around and live in the Father's house. That's not possible. You see what that's saying? It says that if you... if you're going to live in the light and walk in the light and you have fellowship with God, you also are going to have fellowship with one another. In other words, other members of the body of Christ, other spiritual sons and spiritual daughters of the Heavenly Father. You can't separate them. And listen, you know, our old nature and the enemy wants to drive a wedge between us. I mean, if he can't drive a wedge between you and the Father, he's going to try to drive a wedge between you and God's family. Now, what this is telling us, because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are seen through the blood of Christ, and we're pleasing him to the Father, and we have access with him, We have to protect the relationships, the fellowship that we have with one another. I mean, I think about when I was growing up, our next door neighbor, they had a really nice wood shed for the fireplace in the den. And so my next door neighbor, the dad, his name was Johnny or John. And so he used to get out there and he would show us, because we didn't have a fireplace, but he used to show us how to split wood. And, you know, he would have these completely, branches of oak that were cut, you know, just the right size to fit in the fireplace, except they needed to be split up. Well, what's stronger, the branch or the pieces that have been split up by the wedge? The branch is. That's why we have to protect the relationships and the fellowship that we have. You cannot, please hear me. You cannot let offense, anger, frustration, disappointment, or any of those things, you can't fellowship those things about your brother or your friend or your family in the Lord Jesus Christ and then have fellowship with the Lord. Your fellowship is blocked. My fellowship is blocked. And so what happens when we do that, then all of a sudden we begin to move towards a spiritual poverty line, right? Because the spiritual blessing and the enrichment that we have is being limited or even cut off. That's why I grieve over relationships when there is offense, when people leave, when people get mad at one another and they don't, and it's very common today across the body of Christ. And I realize that there are differences that come in many different ways, but we have to protect one another. If we walk in the light, if we are having a relationship that is intimate and is giving us health and life with the Father, we have to work through those issues that come up. And they will come up that happen with our family, that happen with our friends, that happen within the church. We know that, but many times we want to take those things that God has given to us and exit and go do something else without clearing up offenses and issues that have happened. That's living a lie. That's living in darkness. And living in darkness simply really is trying to hide those things that we know are not pleasing to God. And all of us from time to time struggle with something like that, or we have. This morning, as we come to take communion, I want to encourage us, because if there's anything that you have today with someone that is here, an offense or some issue or some conflict, then I would encourage you to go to them. I'm going to give us time this morning. If there's anything that is between you and the Lord, something that you need to confess, I mean, God already knows what's going on in our life. But there is ongoing forgiveness that we have with the Father, that when we are able to come to Him, and we have access to Him all the time, to be able to come and confess a sin or an attitude or something that we know is displeasing, the Bible says that He is faithful to forgive us and that our fellowship with Him is really restored in a way that He has always intended for it to be. Let's take a moment, and I just encourage you to just examine your heart this morning and ask the Lord if there's anything that you need to handle. And it may be with a person that's not here today. And if it's not, and you feel like, or they're not, and you feel like you should not take communion, that's okay. Or if you want to make a commitment as you take communion that you're going to clear up whatever issue is there, I want to encourage you to do that, all right? Let's just take a moment. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your presence with us. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us, Lord, from sin. I thank you that there is ongoing forgiveness, Lord, when we do sin and when we're disobedient to you, God. I pray, Lord, for any relationship, Lord, where there is conflict. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak and minister to the people involved. I pray, Father, for any person that, Lord, is here today that does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, that they might believe in your Son, believe that he died on the cross, and believe, Father, that you raised him from the dead. Lord, that they would receive into their heart the gift of salvation and, Lord, the beginning of spiritual transformation that would begin to change their life. And Lord, that they would have fellowship with you and with the body of Christ. I thank you, Father, for being so good. I thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our lives, that we might surrender to you and give ourselves to doing your will. Lord, we thank you. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask the ushers to come and go ahead and begin to pass out the bread and the juice. Just going to allow the ushers to take their places. Would you stand with me? The small piece of bread that you have in your hand is to call us to remember that Jesus Christ gave his body, a body that was broken, just as we have a small piece of the loaf that this was baked from. So this morning, as you take this piece of bread, remember that he gave himself willingly, that his body would be beaten and bruised. And so he gave himself for us. So as we take this bread and eat it together, let's remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. I would ask you to look at the juice. Growing up Baptist, and I'm grateful for my Baptist heritage because we sang a lot of songs about the power in the blood and what the blood does. I don't want to come lightly to communion because this juice, even though it's a very small amount of juice, but it again calls us to remember the blood of Jesus Christ. That not only that washed us when we first came to the Lord, but today and the days ahead when we need forgiveness in our lives, and we all do, that as we come to him, that the power of his blood is still active today. So, as we take the juice together, let's again be grateful for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord, that we are called to remember, that we're called to be reminded that we belong to you, that we were purchased with a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that you would have your way in our lives. Lord, I pray that we might be salt and light, that we might share our faith, that we might build relationships, and that people might be drawn into the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for being the way you are. Thank you for being so faithful. We bless you and we honor you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Worship team is going to come now and lead us in another song, all right?